Welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday the 17th of July 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live tonight at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, Communism by the Back Door, the Freemasonic victory of World War II and the newly released Churchill's Body Count, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Unmute yourself, Dennis.
Right. For some reason, it didn't work. my word.
How are you doing, old fella?
Well, we're doing all right till then.
Good man, good man. I hear you've been very busy just lately.
Yeah, I've been working on, I finished part two tonight. And it's uploading as we speak. So hopefully be on BitChute later on.
Right, right. Maybe that was what was affecting the mute button. If it's uploading at the same time, it's probably best to leave it.
There were two mute buttons. One with the text of the picture, which didn't work, but the one below did work. So you tell me.
Right. Well, the connection seems to be good enough at the moment. Anyway, and okay. We just ought to say to listeners where they can actually find your work, because it's a little bit difficult. You know, if you look up BitChute and then you look up Truthful Out, and it's hard to find, and the actual URL itself is just a garbled load of characters. So if people are listening and they want to find Dennis's channel, just go to the podcast article, and where it says Sven Longshanks and Dennis Wise at the beginning of the article, just click where it says Dennis Wise, and that will always take you to wherever the latest work is, wherever your latest work is, Dennis. I always put that credit in there in the first line. So if anyone wants to find Dennis's BitChute channel and check out his new work, that's what you need to do. Just click his name in the article. It's a bit awkward that BitChute don't do personalized addresses for the channels that they have on there. Maybe that's
it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, I've always said that.
Yeah, it's something that they need to work on. I know they're under pressure at the moment. They're talking about getting Ofcom to regulate BitChute.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That one.
Not just BitChute, but all internet video sharing platforms. And the guy that runs BitChute is preparing a response to that, and he wants content creators to contact him and help him out with arguments, and free speech argument, I believe, is the main one that he's going to use. And he also wants people to report anything that they see that is illegal, because that's the point of the site, is if people see something that is illegal, they should report it, and people shouldn't be putting stuff up there that is illegal. And it is illegal to incite hate against ethnic minorities, so just be careful that you're not inciting hate. I mean, I think we're quite clear here that that's not what our intentions are. If we talk about things which ethnic minorities might not like to hear being talked about, it's not because we're trying to incite hatred against them. It's because we're trying to encourage a change in government policy that
express our opinion.
Yeah, that will prevent these harmful things happening. And the most harmful thing that's happened is diversity. And if we just lived in our own separate territories, we wouldn't have any racism. You know, we wouldn't have any black on white crime. We wouldn't have any black people being killed by the police. All the accusations that get made, none of them would be able to happen if we just segregated and lived in our own sovereign territories, which is how the rest of the world lives. It's only in formerly white countries that we have to live like this, and it doesn't help us. And it doesn't help the ethnic minorities. And what we talk about is certainly not done out of any hatred for them. And people should bear that in mind when they make their videos. I know you do, Dennis. Anyway, you certainly don't make any hateful videos, do you?
Well, it was interesting. I saw a video the other day about a guy who was mixed race, and he was from Australia, and he went to the Black Lives Matter, which drew a lot of people, like, you know, the march down there. And he went up to people and he asked, I forget the name of the woman now, but he asked if these people knew this woman who was an Australian and who was in America and was shot by the same police precinct guys, but he was a coloured guy. a coloured police officer. She was unarmed. She had no criminal record. She was wearing pyjamas. Whatever reason, he shot her, killed her. But nobody in Australia ever came out and marched for her, which he thought was quite strange. And when he asked the question about, you know, why do you think they didn't come out for her, most of them just said, that's not the point. That doesn't really matter. So...
Similar happened in America, didn't it? I think the first Somalian police officer in one area, it might be Minneapolis, and they'd actually had these TV reports. This is the first Somalian police officer, and really? they shot an unarmed white woman that had called the police and answered the door in her dressing gown. And again, there wasn't riots. There weren't any protests. The blacks have been encouraged to protest against this when, you know, there are more of them that are killed every weekend by each other. That's the serious problem, is black on black crime. Chicago's and killings.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Chicago, you've got kids being shot by accident all the time. I think they had 22 deaths in one weekend a while back. And that's not out of the ordinary.
It's looked over, doesn't it? You know, they don't particularly look to that. It's more a political thing for Black Lives Matter, which of course it is. It's well known as a Marxist organisation.
Well, that's the issue. I mean, I think there were 10 blacks that were killed by the police last year, and I think 5 of them were unarmed. So that isn't the point. What the point is we've got this media, the mainstream media, which tells untruths, or it gilds the truth, and it has an ulterior motive, of stirring the ethnic minorities up. And we're providing a counterbalance to that. And we're not trying to stir people up. We're trying to say, look, this is what is happening. And we need peaceful change. We need legal change. We need people that are advocating for us, for white people, in the same way that blacks have people advocating for blacks and Jews have people advocating for Jews. We need to have white people advocating for whites. And because we're accused of being racist and white supremacist when we do so, we get silenced. So we're trying to provide a counterbalance for that. There's no element of hatred in it, of anyone at all. It's the motive is love for our own race. And a pursuit of justice as well, because we can see an injustice that's going on in the world, and we're trying to highlight that injustice and get it put right. And this is why we do revisionism, because we've got all these historical injustices that we try to expose. Particularly you, Dennis, with the documentaries you put out, they're all about trying to right historical injustices, aren't they?
Well, what was interesting was the statue which they brought down, the slavery and slave owner in Bristol. They kind of sneaked up another statue during the night of a Black Lives Matter activist, given the fist in the air, and tried to substitute it with that. Now, fortunately, the councils took it down because there was no permission given whatsoever, but it would have been an insult for people to suddenly walk past that kind of statue, I would feel.
Yeah, well, it's double standards, isn't it? It's one rule for them and another rule for us, and we're all supposed to be under the same law. There isn't anybody that is supposed to be above the law, and we're pointing out these inconsistencies because we want to see justice. We want to see freedom of speech, and it gets accused of being hate, but it's not hate. I don't think Ofsted have really got any should really have anything to do with public video sharing platforms, because it's the public talking to one another. It's the equivalent of talking on the market square. It's the equivalent of talking in the pub to your mates. And that shouldn't be regulated speech. Corporations and people that are making money that, you know, out of what they're doing, then that should be regulated. If they've got a business like the BBC or Sky or Hollywood, that should be regulated. But when you've got independent people that are just speaking how they feel or explaining the research that they've uncovered, something that they've discovered, say, you know, there shouldn't be any regulation involved in that. That's communication. That is free speech. That is explaining how you feel. I mean, it says in, I forget which book it is in the New Testament, but it basically explains that you have to speak about what you see and what you hear. And it's part of being human. So you try to regulate that. You're effectively putting what it means to be human within chains, aren't you? You're restricting what it means.
That's exactly human. What it is. I've got one question for you.
Go on.
One question, yes or no. Will Ghislaine Maxwell last 12 months to a trial?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I tell you, this gets me actually, Dennis, because they keep talking about Prince Andrew and he's really got to watch out, but he hasn't done anything wrong under British law. You know, the age of consent is 16 under British law.
Yeah, I think he was 17. The one he's supposed to have met in London, which he denies, of course.
Yeah, but she's over the age of 16. He's done nothing wrong, and it was in Britain. And also, you think, you know, it's every little girl's dream to sleep with a prince.
You know, it was my dream to sleep with a princess. Never happened.
Yeah, you know, that side of it just really gets me. He was procuring children. That's absolutely sick. If that's what was going on, that's what's found to be going on. But all the talk is about this 17-year-old girl that the prince slept with. And so what? You know, the prince slept with her. It doesn't, you know, it really does. It's like they're trying to distract from what was really going on there. And they're not really talking about the other things that went on when they should be. They're using Prince Andrew to deflect away from it, I think. But yeah.
Well, the Maxwell thing will be possibly a decider, as there must be a lot of people worried. But if you're going to ask me whether she's going to make the trial, I can't see her being allowed to.
Well, especially not after a husband or a boyfriend or whatever he was. After what happened to him. Then, I mean, it is predictable that that's likely to happen. But, you could hardly believe that it happened last time because it was exactly what everyone was expecting to happen.
It's true. I saw somebody on TV a while back being asked that question, like, do you think they may get her in jail? They said, no, that'd be too obvious.
I mean, they do very little to cover it up nowadays, do they? To actually hide what they're doing.
Yeah, it's pretty brazen. But interesting enough, it does go into the thing. There's a particular video where I watched and went into more deeply into it, like Robert Maxwell and Mossad and everything else. And it actually spoke about how the Jewish mafia took out the Italian mafia during the 90s, which was interesting because I thought the mafia had finished, but obviously I don't think it has.
I always thought obviously we watch Hollywood, we watch the movies and they've sort of instilled in us this idea that gangsters, it's all Italian. But if you look back in history, it was all Jewish. It was all Jewish mobsters in America that started off the gangsters. With the bootlegging, with alcohol being illegal. And then when they took over Hollywood, they started highlighting these movies about Italian gangsters. And there's also that German book about it, and it talks about how all the slang language that they had for things like crowbars for breaking into people's houses, they all had Hebrew names for them because gangsterism and organized crime was in the hands of the Jews. This was a book, I think it's called The Jew as Criminal. There's an English translation of it. But the fact that all these words were actually in Yiddish, these slang terms, I mean, that in itself tells you that Jews were heavily involved in gangsterism.
Well, it always amused me that they had this, they sold themselves as being meek and weak and, you know, because of the Holocaust and things like that. But all the time, when I was reading about them before, about a group of killers were all Jews, you know, which were well known. I forget the name for now, they had some tough guys. They had real tough guys in there. And I don't think Mossad are particularly weak guys. So I think that is a myth of the Jew being always the weak victim.
Yeah, well, they had the Stern Gang, didn't they? And various other terrorist groups after the war. But we're not going to be talking about Jewish crime tonight. We're actually going to be continuing our look at Freemasonry and particularly the Masonic corruption of America, which pretty much sort of led to the situation that we're in today. We wouldn't have been able to happen if America had kept Christian law and ideals. And we're getting this tonight's episode from a book called Scarlet and the Beast, A History of the War Between English and French Freemasonry, which was written in about 1995 by somebody called John Daniel. I haven't read the whole book. I've read bits of it. We'll probably get some more quotes from there in the future. But where did you first hear about this book from then, Dennis?
I was actually going down another path, and when I was looking into it, and I saw one of the one of the sources was this book. So I looked into the book, and the book seemed to be kind of a revelator or a Bible of the truth of history. Now, I'm not saying everything in there is true, neither does the guy who writes it, because what they say about Hitler is totally different to the evidence that I found. No mention of the Catholic Church, and they even say that if he hadn't have turned on Britain, then he wouldn't have lost the war. He never turned on Britain, as you know, he always wanted peace. So in that case, but then again, there was never going to be a good peace with Adolf Hitler, especially in 1995. But there's other parts of it does make sense. And this is one part which I believe does make sense. And we've actually seen it unfold before our eyes.
Well, this is why you have to do the research yourself, isn't it? So that you can you can find out whether something is plausible and investigate it and weigh up the other evidence and look into it. I mean, this is what E. Michael Jones talks about, logos. Everybody has logos. And if we are able to see the facts about something, then we can make up our own minds who is telling the truth about it. And the mainstream media is there to try and stop us from looking at the facts and weighing up the truth of it and to tell us how we should be thinking. And that's how schools operate now as well. They tell people how they should be thinking rather than teaching them how to weigh things up to find out, what's truth and what's false. And these quotes that we've got tonight, they seem pretty factual. To me, anyway, pretty self-explanatory, really. We'll start with an overshoot of it, an overcap of everything, overview of it all. It says, the history of events in our country leading to the secularization of our culture and the concomitant evil of widespread abortion began during World War II. In retrospect, this sequence is so obviously Masonic that it could not have been an accident, but must have been part of a calculated plan. Using the Masonic French Revolution as our pattern and gauge, we shall discover that 8 of 10 steps to destroy Christian America have been accomplished. And I'll just stop there because, you can see some things, you say, well, that could be a coincidence. But what they've done is they've looked back and they've said, well, look, this is exactly the same as what happened in the French Revolution. And it's now happened in America, and the main players in it were also Freemasons, the same as they were in the French Revolution.
And the Russian,
And the Russian Revolution, and I dare say various other ones. I pointed out the other day that these violent revolutions, the people always come off worst off when there is a violent revolution. And I can only think of two that were non-violent, and that was the National Socialist Revolution, where they won overwhelmingly at the ballot box, and Gaddafi's Green Revolution, where there wasn't a bullet shed. And after the revolution, the lives were improved for the people that took part. If you look at these violent revolutions, French Revolution, Bolshevik Revolution, lives were hell after the revolution.
Oh, yeah.
They had the reign of terror. So we shouldn't be looking for violent revolution, because that is not going to solve our problems. That's what they're trying to achieve at the moment with Black Lives Matter, with the rioting and the looting. We've already had a white lady that was shot and killed for saying that all lives matter the other day by a Black Lives Matter supporter. Yeah. It hasn't made international news. But,
no, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, these revolutions, they don't serve the interests of the common people. Well, they've got eight steps here that were used to destroy Christian America. Number one, the majority of the Supreme Court appointees have been Masons. Number two, the same Masonic-dominated Supreme Court has reinterpreted the Constitution to imply separation of church and state. That's something we hear a lot about, so we'll get into detail on that. Number three, the Masonic media has falsely promoted the Constitution as embodying and protecting the separation of church and state. Number four, the Supreme Court has ruled Bible reading and prayer in public schools unconstitutional because of this separation of church and state. Getting back to the original eight, number five, the Masonic-controlled NEA immediately replaced biblical morality in public schools with a licentious new morality. Number six, the Supreme Court promptly legalized pornography to extend this new morality of free sex to public life. Number seven, the same court then took action against parental authority over children. And finally, number eight, it legalized the distribution of contraceptives and the killing of the unborn by abortion. So what he's saying is that is step by step how they got to the legalization of abortion. So it involved pornography.
One kind of falls, then the other makes it easier to pass.
Yeah. So it involves the separation of church and state, removing the Bible, legalizing pornography, and then giving out contraceptives and encouraging that. I mean, today, just to say that, you know, contraception is wrong, I mean, you just, nobody really says that. But back 40 years ago, you know, I can remember people saying contraception is wrong. It shouldn't be used. You know, if you don't want to have children, don't have sex.
Yeah.
That was the way it was looked at, because sex was looked at as the reason for that is to produce children. The whole idea of it just being for it to be fun or pleasure is something that's divorced from reality. It's completely divorced from nature. That's not the point of it.
And fair point, yeah.
Yeah, and children are taught today that's what the point of sex is. So we will now document that Freemasonry is the force behind each of those 10 steps to destroy Christianity in America. And Paul Fisher details this sequence of Masonic successes in his book, Behind the Lodge Door. And this this first bit here, this is where this actually comes from, Paul Fisher's book. He says, our Supreme Court was stacked with Freemasons during the three presidential terms of 32nd degree Freemason President Franklin Roosevelt. Five of the nine justices were his Scottish Rite brothers. The others shared Masonic views. From 1941 to 1971, 5 to 8 Masons sat on the Supreme Court in any given year. So they've obviously got a majority there of Masons, regardless of what political views that these judges supposedly had. They were all members of the same club. That Scottish Rite, Dennis, is that English Freemasonry or is that Oriental French Masonry?
No, I think the Scottish Rite is the English one.
Yeah. I was thinking that because, you know, it's the French Freemasonry that's more liberal. But essentially, they both want the same thing. They want to displace God. Now, I can't actually check because I haven't got a copy of the book, Paul Fisher's book, Behind the Lodge Door. But it is believable to suggest that they were all Masons because most of the establishment are Masons, aren't they? I mean, we've covered this before, that big expose in one of the mainstream papers, I forget which one it was, that had the lists of Freemasons for the last 100 years, and it was all the top brass, wasn't it, in every field?
Yeah, police or clergy or government, even royalty.
And it's going to be the same in America. So that's a very believable claim to make, even though we haven't got the actual book to check these accusations. And Franklin Roosevelt, 32nd degree Freemason, where does that come from, Dennis?
Oh, that's pretty well known. What isn't well known is if he ever met a 33 degree. Some say he did, but that's not sure. But he certainly were a 32 degree. That was admitted even around that time.
So that's pretty much common knowledge. We know that they want to replace the Bible. They think that the Masonic ideas of the brotherhood of man and human rights is superior to biblical law. And they've been trying to institute that since the French Revolution, as we detailed a couple of weeks back with their equality, fraternity and the brotherhood of man. And the French Revolution's motto came directly from these Freemasons. So we know what their views are. And we can see here that they're in a position where they can shape society according to these views. Second, the First Amendment to the Constitution had to be Masonically interpreted to mean separation of church and state. But the actual words to the amendment read, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So what that is saying is that Congress shall make no law saying everybody has to be Christian, or everybody has to be Muslim. That's all that this is saying. It's not separating the church and state. It's saying it's not not going to force people to go along with something. And what they're doing today is they're forcing everybody to go along with diversity and equality, and that's the new religion. That's what everybody has to subscribe to. That's what's been substituted for it. And that's basically the destruction of the natural order.
Yeah.
Mixing all the races together so that they interbreed, so there's no races left. Getting rid of the natural hierarchies that there are by saying instead of being equal under the law, everybody has to have equal outcomes, which lowers the standards of everything. You know, it really is anti-nature. And if it's anti-nature, then it's anti-Christ. It's anti-logos, which is, of course, what they are.
Well, yeah, it's like Black Lives Matter. They've got a thing on the website saying that they want to break up the family. They want to break up. They want to defund the police. And it's just they want to wreck society, take it back to the Stone Age.
They're quite open about being Marxists, aren't they?
They don't have that fact at all.
And then you got mainstream politicians like Keir Starmer kneeling down before them and talking about how he supports them, and they're quite open about it.
Know what they stand for. I mean, okay, there's some people who have gone to these marches probably have no idea, but I'm pretty sure he knows.
Well, if Keir Starmer doesn't know what the people he is supporting, what their ideas are, then he's not fit for office, is he?
He's a socialist, isn't he? He's a Marxist, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he made a big show out of supporting these people. To say that he didn't know what they were actually stood for.
I can't believe that.
Just makes him look like a fool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The author continues, "Our forefathers wrote the First Amendment so that freedom of religion and freedom of speech would go together." And you can see they're both connected, aren't they? There shall be no law respecting establishment of religion or stopping freedom of speech. So it's all connected in together. "Therefore, it was all Christians' constitutional right to pray and read the Bible aloud wherever we desired, even in public schools." I mean, it seems quite clear that's what it's saying, isn't it? Because it links it all together. You cannot force people not to speak and not to speak about religion. That's what it's saying. Not separating church and state. "The amendment states no law shall be made to prohibit this freedom. Therefore, to suppress this constitutional right, Masonry had to nullify the First Amendment with another, its own interpretation. A statement made in 1941 by 32nd degree Freemason Supreme Court Justice Robert H. Jackson confirms this fact. He said that the Constitution and its amendments are what the judges say they are. Once a ruling is made, it sets a precedent and it becomes law." And that's interesting because the judges are supposed to interpret what the Constitution says. At least they are in Britain. They're supposed to interpret what the Constitution says. They're not supposed to make it say what they want it to say. And this is how they've managed to twist it, isn't it? So they've managed to say that it means because originally it was just for white men as well. It wasn't supposed to include Negroes in it. That's when it was written. That's what you had. Yeah. You had the white man and you had Negroes. And when it was referring to all men are created equal, that's why it says that, because obviously if you're including other races in that, they're not equal. It's only if you've got one race there that you can say all men are created equal. So that's just one way that they've changed it with their interpretation. And you know, the proof of that is as I just said, because that was the way that the law was back then. But you can also look at the primary source documents that talk about what the Constitution actually meant at the time, and that was how it was understood at the time, and they thought that it was absolutely crazy, a ludicrous idea that black people would have been seen as equal with whites, because they were people that had just been imported to do some work. They weren't the settlers that had built the country, much as they'll try and tell you today that the country was built on picking cotton. It wasn't. "Separation of church and state are words that originated in the minds of French Masonic revolutionists, not in the minds of our forefathers. For example, the Masonically inspired French Constitution of 1791 provided for the creation of a system of free, public, secular education, with the result that religion is no longer taught in the public schools in France to this day. And they're very strict on that as well.
Oh, I bet they are.
And this is why they've had problems with Islam, because people are saying, well, look, there's no consistency here. You've banned Christianity everywhere, but now you're tolerating Islam.
Mm.
And one good side of it, in actual fact, is that Macron has stood up for the statues and said that there's no way that any of the French statues are going to be pulled down. And it doesn't matter how so-called racist or involved with slavery these statues were, there is no way they are being pulled down.
Fair enough.
Which is good on him. We have to give him credit for that. But also, America wasn't interested in going the same way as the French Revolution.
That's right.
You know, the French Revolution was followed in Haiti, wasn't it? When they had when the slaves had the uprising and they slaughtered all the white people, and they instituted French revolutionary norms in Haiti, because you had parts of the Americas that were in French hands.
Yeah.
And the French Revolution affected them, and the rest of America was horrified at what they saw going on.
And it was bad, as it has been in every revolution since, like you say.
These same restrictions of religion have extended to most communist countries. For example, in the former Soviet Union, the phrase separation of church and state was written into its constitution, but not into America's. After World War II, American Freemasonry determined to follow the pattern of the Soviet Union. To circumvent a blatant act of treason, the Masonic-dominated Supreme Court said separation of church and state was implied in the First Amendment. Amazing, isn't it? You know, the First Amendment is quite specific that that's not what it's trying to do. It's saying that people will not be stopped from preaching, basically, and discussing the Bible.
Mm.
Whether they're involved in the state or not, they should be allowed to do that. And yet they've managed to turn that around and say that it was implied. I think they've also said that it was implied in the Constitution that there could be such a thing as gay marriage as well. That was another.
Really?
Yeah, that was another twisting of it. That,
well, I know that over the years they've managed to twist it so if you have like a statue of, say, Moses and his Ten Commandments, then the Satanists can come along and put another statue next to it with Satan's commandments. You know, because they're saying like we can't be favourable to just one religion.
I think the greatest instance of the hypocrisy is there is at Hanukkah, isn't it? When they have a great big menorah outside the White House.
Yeah, outside the White House, yeah.
With a huge great crane, and they have these rabbis lighting it, and then they've got whatever president it is has to pay their respects to these rabbis and put up with this great big menorah on the front lawn. Well, any mention of Christmas has to be banned, and you can't have nativity plays in the schools.
Yeah, they used to have, didn't they? I think Obama got rid of it, I think, if I'm right.
They changed the stopped us from singing hymns and changed it for things like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah.
Instead of
Happy Holidays.
Yeah, Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas or all this sort of stuff.
It
all.
I never write Xmas now.
Yeah, it all.
That's another
Xmas. Yeah.
You know, we sent the Christ for a reason, don't we?
It all follows on from it. But it wasn't just these judges. The third step in the Masonic plot to destroy Christianity in America was to activate the Masonic-controlled press. The media has repeated over and over the Supreme Court's interpretation of the First Amendment as if it were the actual words of the Constitution. Separation of church and state is part of our Constitution, the press reports. Therefore, religious activity in our state-funded schools is in violation of our Constitution. To this day, most Americans believe this Masonic disinformation because they have not read the Constitution since their high school days. And that's very true. The press repeats things, and it keeps repeating it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And then Wikipedia will reference it, and then the press will reference Wikipedia referencing it, and then it will gradually get accepted as being truthful. when it's not. That, I mean, this is the way it works. It's like Chinese whispers, isn't it?
Yeah, this is exactly what they've done with, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, it's gone. You know when they say the dinosaurs and everything else, and it's all
evolution.
Yeah. And what used to be theory is repeated it so much and so often, it's now fact and taught as fact.
I can remember when they did say that it was just theory, and I can remember seeing nature documentaries. David Attenborough would just say that this is the theory. Whereas now they'll say, oh, yes, this animal grew this bit and it grew that bit and it turned into another animal. And you think, yeah, well, how do they manage to do that then?
Have you read that one over 6 million years ago?
how did they work out how to grow their own lungs and walk on the land then and walk on two legs instead of four?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the way they do it. And they do it gradually as well, don't they? They'll gradually slip in more and more.
They kind of twist things so the thought of, especially the young, drifts away from what used to be the standard Christian ideology.
Well, when you had Christianity being taught, it was something that wasn't going to change. It was Christian law. It was written 2,000 years ago. And it couldn't be changed, and that could always be appealed to. That could be like the Supreme Court. You could go to your I would say secular courts, but you could go to your state courts. You could go to the king, and eventually you could appeal to the Pope. Or before that, you could appeal to Rome or Constantinople. Constantinople was the highest ecclesiastical court, and you could appeal to them. And if what the state had done was against Christianity, then the church would say, well, that's against Christianity. You can't do that and still be a part of the church. And kings would be excommunicated until they mended their ways.
Well, that's replaced now with the Irish law, with the Human Rights, United Nations.
Yeah, that goes back to Masonry and thinking that man can make his own laws, as if there aren't unchangeable laws. That's the whole point about a law. In science, the laws of gravity is that things will always fall to the ground. It's the same with morality, whether something is right or wrong. You can't, just issue a fatwa and change it, or say we've changed that now, that the state says it's okay. It's not okay. Abortion is not okay. That's murdering a child in the womb, where he should be the safest place for him.
Even at 9 months, though.
Yeah, they apparently that Jacinda Ardern slipped that through during the COVID-19 scare in New Zealand. But more and more.
Yeah, well, in America, I saw the New York mayor refusing to answer a straight question when he was being interviewed about this 9 month abortion thing there. he just said, look, it's up to the medical people, and refused to answer, obviously dodging the question.
Well, that goes with the terminology as well, the way they talk about it, a termination.
Yeah.
Instead of talking about what it actually is and the way they frame it, women's rights and a right to choose.
Yeah, it's their own body.
No mention of the child's right to live. Of course, it's the same with gay marriage and gay adoption. There is no mention of a child's right to having a mother and a father.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, not even down that road, for Christ's sake.
Even if it can't be their own biological mother and father, then at least it should be male and female, that the two responsible for creating the child.
Well, the thing is, in my eyes anyway, where you have abortion to get rid of the baby, if they don't want the child, fair enough. There's plenty of people in this world who can't have children who would love that child. So what's the problem?
That's the tragedy of it. And the reasons why people do it, and we'll get into it later on, but the reasons why people do it is the same reasons why people sacrificed children 3,000 years ago to idols.
Exactly, the same reason.
So that they can have an improvement in materialism, so that they can get a better job, so that they're more likely to attract a better husband. Exactly the same reasons 3,000 years ago as to why women do it now.
A better crop.
Yeah, so it doesn't interfere with their life, so that they can have, they can achieve more with their education, all that sort of thing. Following the media propaganda blitz, the fourth step to destroying Christian America was to outlaw religious activity, meaning Christianity, of course, in our classrooms. And it is just Christianity, because they promote Islam, they promote Judaism. It's Christianity that they come down hard on. 14 years before the 1962 to 1963 Shemp decision struck down prayer and Bible reading in our public schools, Freemasonry began to program its membership to accept the change. The Masonic propaganda was first published in the New Age magazine, November 1948, in an article entitled Religion in the Public Schools. The southern jurisdiction of Scottish Rite Freemasonry promoted natural religion to replace Christianity in our public schools. Quote, the dramatic presentation of the 32nd degree of the Scottish Rite expresses a code of ethics, which is essentially natural religion. In this support of natural religion, Scottish Rite Masonry presents an excellent example of what might be followed in our public schools. There can be no well-founded objection to the presentation of natural religion. Close quote. So that's explaining it. We should really have a look at the code of ethics that is a part of the 32nd degree of the Scottish Rite, Dennis.
Should do, yeah.
I suspect it might be difficult to find. It might be something that you learn from some kind of an initiation.
Quite possible.
I think that's what they do with these initiations, isn't it? You're supposed to learn something from the initiation that gives you more of an insight into life.
Yeah, so I think it's a slow build up, isn't it? You start from the bottom and slowly build up, taking all these all this information in. Like, depending on how keen you are and how dedicated, the higher you rise.
Well, the definition of Freemasonry's natural religion was explained as the religion of the knowledge of good and evil in the New Age magazine of January 1949 and September 1958. The articles published in this Masonic organ recommended that public school children be taught the balance between good and evil and the knowledge of good and evil. And as we know, this is the religion of the serpent in Genesis chapter 2, 16 to 17, and chapter 3, 1 to 5. So what they're saying here is that there's a balance between the two. Mm-hmm. You have to have good and you have to have evil. And this is the Gnostic idea. And there's nothing that's all good, and there's nothing that's all evil, and it's best to have a blend of the two. And this is where you get this idea of the hermaphrodite, that, you know, it's both male and it's both female, yeah. And this is a positive thing, which leads to these deification of these transsexuals that they promote all the time now. It's these Gnostic ideas that
the best of both worlds.
Yeah, good and evil is essentially the same, and it all depends on the person that's viewing. I mean, even that makes its way into science now, doesn't it? With physics, and saying that it all depends on the person that's watching. The person that's watching the experiment is actually going to affect the experiment. So it even works its way into that. Again, E. Michael Jones is great for that, showing how all of modern science is based on these occult ideas.
Amazing.
Yeah, we are very lucky to have Dr. E. Michael Jones.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him because he's been moved off YouTube, hasn't he? So.
His new book's fantastic about Logos. Yeah, his writing is really, really improved from Libido Dominandi, like 20 years ago, I think he wrote that one, or 30 years ago. Massive improvement. I do recommend people get his Culture Wars magazine. There's a lot of information in there that isn't available elsewhere on the internet. It's well worth the $4 a month, I think it is.
He has a website, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's all been updated. His website. So what we've got here is we've got this Masonic teaching that's being taught in public schools, that there is no absolute good, there is no absolute evil, and it all depends on the person that's watching, and also that morals can change, and morals can change over time because of this. I'm trying to think of the word relativity. It's all relative. Mm-hmm. This idea that it's all relative, and something that might be evil in one situation can be good in another situation.
Yeah, I'll be able to work that one out, but yeah.
Well, and this is how they've managed to, you know, change the ruling on homosexuality and say that this is now something good and this is now something positive. Because they say that we know more.
Yeah, they've gone for the latest one is, you know, that's the big one they want to get, to bring the age down for the consent for children.
Well, Twitter have already said that paedophiles have a right to talk about their paedophilia and they won't ban them. They've said that that's, you know, that's part of what
that's the first move
Twitter endorses. And, of course, Twitter will ban people like Jared Taylor for being a white advocate.
Yeah, Facebook also have some pages of paedophilia, which they won't ban.
It's a slippery slope. Less than 3 years before the Bible and prayer in public schools were outlawed, the New Age, in March of 1959, bragged of Freemasonry's new order, brought forth by the establishment of the public school system, financed by the state, for the combined purpose of technological and sociological education of the mass of humanity, beginning at an early age in children. And the article confirmed that sociological education would be a liberal education. So what they're talking about here is social engineering.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. There was a teacher who was complaining in The Sun recently about the lockdown. She was concerned that the children who she usually teaches and teaches left-wing Marxist ideals, she's concerned that the parents will be teaching the children now right-wing ideology. So work that one out.
No, they go totally against what the parents teach. I mean, that's the point of these schools is to try and teach the children what the state wants, how the state wants them to think, rather than how the parents are wanting the children to think.
We can see what's come. How it's gone today. The older generation are walking around bewildered, and as these new generation just accept, you know, they can take statues down at will.
Well, yeah, that's a very good example. I mean, somebody who was educated years ago that knows how to think and understands that things change, and depending on the situation at the time, what we may think is wrong now, everybody would have thought was okay back then, and that we can't just get rid of it because that is evidence of the way we used to think. I mean, an older person will understand that, but somebody that's been brought up today, oh, that's bad. We can't possibly have that. That's racist. We need to get rid of it. It's
people just can't understand. It's puzzled. They just can't understand. Which is obvious if they're not really that way inclined. I mean, we can understand how it all happened, but a lot of people just get on with their lives and have no idea.
And then it creeps up behind them.
Yeah.
Bites them in the backside when they get to 70 or 80 years old and they suddenly have the police knocking at their door because they said something they shouldn't have done on Facebook.
Yeah.
As regularly seems to happen in Sweden, you get these elderly people that end up with police records just for stating that they're not very happy with immigration over there, or the people that seem to be committing all the crimes all seem to be a certain type, and why won't the government do something about it? You know, just people saying what they want to say.
Just opinions, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
People should be free to say how they feel, and yet now, especially on Twitter, nobody's free to say how they feel. Yeah, you have to be very careful what you say.
I don't really bother with now with Facebook, with Twitter, you know, YouTube. I can do without, because if I say what I think, I'm going to get in trouble. So.
Yeah, yeah. How are you feeling today? Well, I can't tell you.
Just leave it alone.
Okay. How are you feeling today? Well, I can't tell you. I just have to repeat how the government says I should be saying how I feel. You know, that's the way that it's going. And when they say here the social education would be a liberal education, that's obviously not the liberal arts, which is the trivium.
No,
that Rome and a long classical tradition of certain things that people would be educated with, and that's not what a liberal education is. A liberal education is promoting equality, inclusiveness, so you don't teach children about their local history, you don't teach them a sense of identity, you tell them they're world citizens, and they're all equal with everybody else. Yeah. That's a liberal education. After the fourth step of outlawing the Bible and prayer in the public schools, after the fourth step of outlawing the Bible and prayer in the public schools became a reality, the fifth step came quickly, with Christian morality no longer allowed expression after 1963. The Masonic-created National Education Association, the NEA, had free rein as agents of change to teach and graduate a generation of natural religionists with a new morality, or rather with no morality. This technique was comparable to the procedure employed by the Illuminati's philanthropine schools. And I think this goes back to Adam Weishaupt and agents of change. And he was basically doing the opposite of what the confessors do, what the Catholic priests do. You go to them, you confess, they tell you the punishment that you've got to give yourself, or the, I forget the word of it, the penance that you have to do. And he was doing the opposite. Tell me the sins that you've been doing, and then encouraging them to do more, and then using the sins that he'd been told that they did as like a blackmail and like control over them, and then getting them to teach others to do the same and basically change society.
What's strange is that, just thinking just before you said that, that everything we're hearing at the moment from this is completely opposite to what was going on in National Socialist Germany. Completely opposite.
Well, they were the balance to this, really, weren't they? They're trying to stop all of this. They said Hitler was a man against time because he stood against this, what they call progression. They call this progress. I would call it regress, regression, but they call it progress, when it's really just the destruction of our morals and descending into chaos. And the people that stand up against that are, you know, traditionalists, and they are standing against progress, what we call progress. But I guess, I mean, I think of it that we had a perfect beginning, and then everything has got worse since then.
Degenerated
and corrupted, the same as if you leave something out, it's going to rust, it's going to get worse. So, but you know, the way that liberals will look at it is that this is a progression. This is actually getting better. You know.
Yeah, we can compare music and films to a couple of generations ago. I see TV's just been depleted.
How can you compare classical music concertos to something that's just produced? Yeah, or even something that's just produced on a computer. And just think about war. Think of the way that war was 300 years ago. There was chivalry was still involved. People would stop and they'd go out and rescue them. They'd stop at 5 o'clock. They'd stop on Sunday for church. You would have, before that, you would have single combat. You'd have all these rules with it. And now you've just got indiscriminate warfare, bombs that just take out civilians. Look at the millions that were wiped out in the First and the Second World War. And we're told this is progress. This is progress.
Karma is a dangerous thing, though. It might take a while to come, but when it comes, it's certainly devastating.
Well, it's progress for the blind, isn't it? This is the thing. This is for people that have been deceived by the devil and believed that they can be like God, or they know better than God, they will be deceived, and they will think this is progress. Yeah.
I mean, it always sounds better. I mean, you look at the feminist movement, that, you know, people thought, oh, that's great, you get another wage, we can really have a great holiday and what have you. But what I don't realise is, within time, you need two parents to work to get even half a wage. That's how it works.
And look at the harm it does to the child.
Yes.
Who's best to bring the child up? His mother or somebody he's never met before?
Yeah, I was dragged up, I remember.
Some, you know, child care. Some babysitter that he's never heard of before.
Yeah.
Number six, as rapidly came the sixth step, realizing that young minds emptied of biblical morality in public schools were easy prey for continued seduction after graduation, our Masonic-dominated Supreme Court authorized and in fact protected incitements to indecent living with its ruling on pornography. This time, Justice Brennan, not a Mason himself, but whose thinking paralleled Masonic thought, was in the forefront. Fisher explains, in Roth versus United States in 1957, Justice Brennan, in the majority opinion, while denying that obscenity is protected by the Constitution, posited the unique definition of obscenity as material which deals with sex in a manner appealing to prurient interests. And he then said, the test for obscenity is whether to the average person applying contemporary community standards, the dominant theme of the material taken as a whole appeals to these prurient interests. Prurient means marked by or arousing an immoderate or unwholesome interest or desire, especially marked by arousing or appealing to sexual desire. So something that appeals to sexual desire, and that's what he's saying, that is what obscenity is. But he's saying, if by contemporary standards it's not considered to be particularly obscene, then it's okay. So with the gradual decay in morals, then it's going to be okay.
It gets even more okay.
Yeah. And so this permitted such publications as Playboy and Penthouse to display pornographic nudity in their magazines, along with articles on politics, the arts and economics, etc., by recognized experts in their respective fields. So they basically added legitimate content alongside it and said, oh, this is just a small part of the magazine. The whole magazine isn't just for these prurient interests, so it's okay. And then it would gradually get worse and worse, so you'd go from women in lingerie to totally naked women to people having sex, and it's gone on from there, basically. It's got more and more hardcore, more and more degenerate, until you get to today. And because you've got this ruling that says it applying contemporary community standards, where these standards are now handed down to us from the mainstream media and from the establishment, instead of the standards, the Christian standards that we used to have, these standards are constantly being lowered.
Well, yeah.
And you get more and more pornography. And it was the same in Britain. When I was a kid, it was illegal to show erections in videos.
Yeah.
So there was no hardcore pornography. And that was banned in Britain, I think, until sometime after the internet had come along.
Mm.
And we were seen as being somehow backwards because of this.
Yeah, the internet kind of opened the floodgates, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was a good thing. Pornography is so harmful to young minds and young eyes.
And I think it's married couples, you know.
Yeah.
Causes problems.
But the ideas that it sows in people's minds, especially when they're young and they don't, they're not mature enough to understand it, and they're looking at this stuff and they're reading this stuff and they're being told, oh, this is okay, you know, you'll enjoy this. This is what adults do, you know. Girls read it as well. Yeah, girls read it. They make terrible mistakes that they'll regret for the rest of their lives. It encourages a totally false idea of what sex is about. So damaging. And yet it's just seen as something to do with free speech. And it's incredible, isn't it, that they will try to restrict people talking about crime statistics to involve ethnic minorities, because that's supposedly, you know, they can ban that, but they can't ban, you know, people showing twisted things on videos that is going to damage young minds.
Yeah, well, I think it was Israel that weaponized them. Michael Jones was saying, one of the first things they did was show pornography in Arab countries that they'd invaded.
Yeah, when they went into war at Lebanon, that was what they did when they took over the TV channels, and they started showing porn on the TV channels, which distracted all the men. And which shows that it's not freedom at all. It's a weapon that's used against people to distract men and to take advantage of their emotions and instincts and direct them towards something other than fighting the enemy.
Yeah.
And there's more to it as well. I mean, E. Michael Jones talks about how people that are watching that, they're not praying. The more people get involved in self-manipulation the less they pray. And they introduced this to the nuns, and the nuns would then become lesbians, and they'd stop praying, and this took off all around America.
But, yeah.
That's something we can maybe get into next week, Dennis, because we're going a little bit over time here now.
That's so quick.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to stop now. Thank you very much for coming on today.
No problem.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We will be back next Friday with more Truthful Out Radio for you. And, of course, we do hope you have a great weekend ahead of you.